welcome everyone to the latest episode of the Here's Johnny podcast. I am your host, Larry.
And I am your other host, Justin.
This has been an episode that Justin and I have been nervous about. Everyone has seen Jaws, but we were both on the edge about this, especially after some of the reaction to the Exorcist episode. But we haven't discussed our thoughts post rewatch, right?
No, and it's actually been a long time since I've seen this.
Me too. It's been a while. But before we get onto that, a little bit of notes. If you haven't been, make sure you're going over to the website. It's really, really nice. Like, our people did a lot of work on it. And then also we have almost a weekly blog post, like every other 2 weeks. And the newest one is a review of Kong Skull Island, obviously by Matt. And he's getting us prepared for our eventual review of Godzilla versus Kong.
I got to remember when that is. I'm not going to lie. I kind of already forget.
The end of March.
Oh, okay. So I still got a long time.
Yeah. If I were you, the only ones you really need to watch, I'd watch Kong Skull Island and then Godzilla.
No, I'm going into it blind. If I needed to watch those movies, we would have watched it during the season.
And you know what? You asked me if I wanted to do it, and I told you it was not necessary. So that's fine. Yep. That's fair. But before we get into the episode proper, Justin, last week we were kind of struggling. Luckily, we were able to reach out to the person. He reached out to us. It was like a family stuff, which obviously family comes first.
Absolutely.
Always. So we're happy things worked out. We're going to try to circle back around because we do still have 3 more Silent Hill games. But I did want to throw that out there and say we were happy to hear.
Yeah, happy to hear that he's okay.
Yep.
That's always the biggest thing, right? Is you never know if everything's okay. But he messaged us like the next day and said he was good and whatnot.
Yeah, so I appreciate it. And I want to say a special apology to our good friend The P over on Discord and Twitch. we were all ready to do Monster Hunter last night.
Yes, but, we were.
My good friend Roman. He's the one who flew out to Utah on his own dime to help me and Devin drive the U-Haul back 27 hours straight. He needed a favor, so at 6:30, I dropped what I was doing, went to a couple of musclehead shops, picked up some protein, and met him in Lima, Ohio. And I got home around 11:30 last night, only to go into lab super early this morning. So I'm running on steam. But yeah, man, I'm sorry. I did call Matt. I did personally reach out and call Matt and said, hey, remember how I told you it would be a hell of an excuse? Well, here we go. This is
okay. We'll get there 1 week.
Happy we're not reviewing it. It's just a playing thing.
Yes. Well, that makes it easier. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, enough of me talking. Justin, what's been new with you, buddy?
So I started playing The Sinking City over on Twitch. And I watched Jaws, and most importantly, well, to me, I happened to pick up one of those graphics cards that everybody's trying to get a hold of, because apparently here in Canada, it's a little easier to get.
I am very happy to hear you did that. I know you've been looking forward to it.
Yes.
When does it arrive?
Oh, I went to the store and picked it up.
Oh,
it's literally, it's behind me. Well, as
so
soon
when
as
are
we're
you inserting?
What's that?
When are you inserting it into your computer?
So my plan is, obviously, I was going to do it before we recorded because I had time, but I figured, you know what? Let's record. I'll edit it, upload
With
it.
With our luck, your computer would have blown up.
Exactly. So I figured as soon as it's done, as soon as I'm done editing, I'm going to put it in. So hopefully by the next stream, I'll have it in and running, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's a big jump for me. So
yeah, I think a abacus with a digital reader would be a big jump for my computer. She's slowly losing steam.
Well, and the crazy thing is I looked up because I was just gonna resell the graphics cards I have on my computer right now because I don't need it. They are still very expensive. Like, my graphics card is 4 or 5 years old now.
Yeah.
And I mean, it still goes for like $450, $500.
That's incredible.
Which is insane.
That's really
incredible. It covers about half the cost of the new one. So, But yeah, I'm excited about that. And I'm trying to think if I've done anything else. I also picked up Bravely Default too. I've played maybe like an hour or two, just kind of grinding.
Yeah, I've had a chance to rant about that yet.
Oh, we'll get into it. But I think, I'm trying to think. Yes, pretty sure that is everything about me. So Larry, let's hear about your rant.
Oh my gosh, it seems like so much has happened since we last recorded. So Bravely Default 2 came out last Friday.
Yep.
I was super excited about it. For me, that's like the Bravely Default games are like the best combination of RPGs.
Okay.
Incredibly grindy, but it has a system that is like behooves you to grind. Like
you've
seen it now. 4x speed, be able to re-input your things, like a job system. I just love it. I think I'm at 9 hours right now.
Okay.
Mainly because the last 2 days I've been pretty busy with work, so I haven't been able to do anything. But this weekend I'm planning on cracking some stuff out. I'm actually really happy I didn't do it on stream, because all I'm doing is just running in loops looking for treasure chests.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I called a local game shop. I tweeted about this. I called a local game shop here in Columbus on Thursday night, and I said, "Will you have a physical copy tomorrow?" Because I'm trying. I could have got it on Amazon. I could have done a lot of things. I'm trying my best to support local. And they said, "Yes, we'll have it at noon." Well, I show up at noon, and they don't have it. And I'm like, "What's going on?" And he's like, "Sorry, my boss said it would be here. Let me call him real quick." And the boss is like, "No, it won't be here till Tuesday. Can you wait?" And like, not even like an offer. It's like, I literally was just so furious. I came home, bought digital, then I had to wait for it to download. I was not in a good mood. So yeah, there's that. But then Friday night, if you guys haven't, you should go check out our episode on Zombie Girls. It is a review of Willy's Wonderland, a Nick Cage film. And on that, Rachel and I decided, in a alcohol and poutine diffused dream, we are starting a podcast together. It'll be a limited run podcast because there's only a limited amount. It's going to be the filmography of Nick Cage.
Have you guys landed on a name yet, or
not officially yet? I'm still pushing for I Could Eat a Peach for Hours.
The Nick that Cage means podcast. Nothing to me. It's
from Face Off.
Okay,
it's a line.
It's been forever since I've seen it. So,
But yeah, we're talking about that. It would be like a monthly thing, but I don't know. We're discussing it. Devin and I have been going through the MCU. We actually just finished up Captain America: Civil War. It was her first watch, mine in a while. It's still fantastic. But a fun thing I wanted to mention is my parents have been cleaning out their house, and they brought down some of my old stuff. And I didn't know this, but my dad had an Atari before he was married.
Which is it, like the Atari 2600?
Atari 2600.
Okay.
Which he kept in the box with all the cords. And he kept all of his games in the boxes with the booklets.
That's awesome.
I use a site called GameValueNow.com. It's free to use. You put the games there, not only to tell you like how much progress you made in a collection of like a generation or a system, but it also gives you prices based on like the market. And all my old video games, I did not put anything new in there yet. It's $2,000.
From just the Atari?
No, across the board.
Oh, okay.
And I was actually, give me 1 second. You can leave this in. I was going to share the most most expensive pieces from my childhood. I share this with you and Matt. But the most expensive thing I have is Pokemon Soul Silver. And that is because I have the box, the actual box it came in. So the game box, actual box, the pamphlet. But no Pokewalker. That's $112.
Damn.
I have Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. This one shocked me. Again, box, booklet, and everything. That's $108.
Yeah. I mean, I remember...
I had no idea it was that expensive.
I remember 8 years ago looking for a copy of Twilight Princess, and I think no booklet, but a case in the game was like $80 or something, that's or $50 insane. Or something like that. Like something crazy.
Another one that blew my mind, because I know Zelda has a high market, but one that blew my mind was Pokemon Colosseum. Again, GameCube, case, booklet box, $104.
Yeah.
This one was a gem that I found. My dad had Alien for the Atari.
Are you going to play it?
I don't have the proper cords to hook it up to my brand new TV, but I've been thinking about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that box, cartridge, and booklet, that's $70. And then the fifth one is Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, which I kind of knew would be pricey because I kind of got it for like, I got it for like $50 when I got it. That one is $66.
Oh, hey, you made $16, kind of.
Without weird, even trying.
Yeah.
But then I priced out my old Pokemon cards. And again, this is just the ones that I knew were worth something.
Yeah.
And with those, I have like almost $2,000 in Pokemon cards.
Yeah, and that's Pokemon just cards
like
are
the ones that are worth something, not like the whole collection.
Pokemon cards are pricey, man. Like, people go for them.
And like, I'm not going to sell anything. I was just curious to know, but it's nice to know that if a really, really rainy day came,
you have that to fall back onto, basically. Bit of a nest egg. Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah, but yeah. Besides that, I haven't really been watching anything outside of the MCU rewatch because I'm trying to get caught up. So when we do watch WandaVision, we've got the whole thing down. That's pretty much it. I tried to play The Sinking City only to find out that I don't actually own it. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, what happened?
Dude, I don't know. I think I got it confused with, because Devin got a Cthulhu game, which was Call of Cthulhu. Yeah. And I think in my monkey brain, I got those two things flipped. And it sucks because you were telling me like what last month it was on sale.
Yeah, it was on sale for 15 here, so it would have probably been around 10 there.
Yeah.
And now it's full price, and so now it's like $80 here, so.
Oh, lovely. That's the way she goes.
Did your game shop have it or nope. No?
So I'm gonna call a couple more shops.
Hey, I mean, I know Amazon has it for like $20, I think.
I think that's what I'll probably end up doing. I'm gonna call a few more places just to see, but this is how life works sometimes.
Yep.
But yeah, that's all I really have. I know there's a lot of rambling and goofiness and fun stuff, but are you ready?
I think I am, but the question is, are you?
Jaws is a 1975 horror film directed by Steven Spielberg and based on Peter Benchley's novel of the same name released in 1974. This is our first Spielberg film on the podcast, but it won't be our last of his this season.
What else has he done?
Come on, Justin.
I honestly...
It was your wife who made it very clear we needed to add it.
Jurassic Park.
There you go.
Yeah. Honestly, unless I'm looking at the list, I couldn't even tell you what the next game we're playing is.
Sinking City, which you
no, but after Sinking City, I'm saying like I can't look.
You that can't far think about it. It's that monster that Marcus put in front of us.
Oh, Death Stranding. Oh boy, that stream. Oh boy.
But yeah, Spielberg is a household name and considered to be one of the best directors of all time. From franchises like Indiana Jones and Jurassic Park to more family-friendly ventures like Hook and E.T. to truly beautiful, moving cinematic masterpieces such as Schindler's List and Saving Private Ryan, everyone has seen a Steven Spielberg film. Just ask Dawson from Dawson's Creek.
I don't watch Dawson's Creek. You ever seen it?
Oh, Dawson is like the whole, at least the beginning premise of the show is that Dawson wants to be Steven Spielberg. That's like the whole it's his whole personality.
I did not know that.
There you go. Benchley wrote several other novels about the ocean, many of which would be made into films that also had success in Hollywood, but none were like Jaws, which you're going to understand was a huge hurdle because Jaws was a monster. The film stars Roy Scheider, Richard Dreyfuss, and Robert Shaw. Schneider plays Martin Brody, police chief of Amity Island, who is one of the few to realize the threat of our killer shark. He starred in other films such as The French Connection and Marathon Man, and over his career, he was nominated for 2 Academy Awards, a Golden Globe, and a BAFTA. Richard Dreyfuss is the star of the film I recognize the most, and mainly it is from his voice. Do you know what movie Richard Dreyfuss narrated?
Absolutely not.
Okay, I'm going to give you a clue. It is based on a novella by Stephen King.
Did he narrate...
I know you can do it. Man. I know you can do it.
Have I seen it?
Absolutely.
Salem's Lot.
Nope.
Oh, damn.
You've not seen on this podcast. It has Corey Feldman in it.
Oh, dude, I can't.
It has Kiefer Sutherland in it.
I'm drawing a blank.
Stand by Me.
Oh, okay. Have I seen that movie? Yes, I have. Oh, Train Tracks. God. Yes, yes, I have. Don't worry.
Really derailed. Lord have mercy. He is the marine biologist Hooper, who goes on the final voyage with Brody. Other films in his filmography include Goodbye Girl, Mr. Holland's Opus, which is a super sad movie. If you ever want to check that out. Yeah, I didn't think it'd be your thing. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, another collaboration with Steven Spielberg, and one of my favorite films, What About Bob? Have you seen that?
Yeah, that's, oh my God, with I Bill can't Murray. Think of his name. Doesn't it also have, holy fuck, it's going to bug the shit out of me.
The two of them is him and Bill Murray.
Is,
because really? Bill Murray is Richard Dreyfuss' patient, and he like drives up to the lake to come see him.
Oh, I always thought it was... holy shit. I can't think of his name now. Yes, I have seen What About Bob. Yes, I have.
Super funny movie. Then Robert Shaw plays the shark hunter, Quint. He had other really notable film roles, such as In Russia with Love, Battle of Britain, Young Winston, and The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. Quint is my favorite character, although the three of those are all up there, but Quint is probably the most iconic of those three characters. Remember, Always Sunny has parodied it. It's like all over the place. A lot of his scenes have been parodied.
Oh boy, we're gonna get into it. I think a little bit.
I'm scared now. The film won 3 Academy Awards for film editing, dramatic score, and sound. It was also nominated for Best Picture, but lost to the film One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Have you seen that?
That's a movie I haven't seen in a very long time.
You have seen it, which is good.
Yes.
The film was shot mostly on location in Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, and was the first major motion picture to ever be shot on the ocean.
Wasn't it also like the first like summer blockbuster, basically?
We're going to get into that.
Okay, sorry. Hey, I kind of know a little bit.
So this is a decision I decided to make because this is a whole can of worms. The production of Jaws was like marred by setbacks and issues with the robot. Like, it's the reason why we see so little of the shark. Like, it worked out for him, I think, but the reason why we see so little of the shark is because it was just having so many problems. But it was either on the Blu-ray special features, or there was an actual documentary about the making of Jaws that I recommend to anybody to go check out, because it is insane. The fact this movie got made is incredible.
So what happened then?
So filming on the open ocean, young director in Spielberg, production company that was just burning money, not knowing what kind of product they were going to get back on it. Yeah. The robot malfunctioning every single time they tried to do anything. Just a lot of stuff like that.
But honestly, it
worked out, right?
Yeah, big time.
And just like you said, Jaws is considered to be the first Hollywood blockbuster. It set up the modern Hollywood theatrical model, and along with Star Wars, which came out two years later, changed how cinema was approached by major studios until this day. In 2001, it was selected by the Library of Congress for preservation in the U.S. National Film Registry as culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. The film was scored by John Williams, who may be the greatest cinematic composer of all time. It hurts me to say that. I'm sorry, Danny Elfman, but everybody knows a John Williams score. You may not know it, but you know it.
Yeah.
A lot of that is because of his collaborations with Spielberg, but Star Wars is John Williams.
Harry Potter, I actually knew that, yeah.
Harry Potter is John Williams. It's...
Yeah.
If you ever want to have your mind blown, go over to Spotify and listen to a John Williams playlist and just be shocked at how many movies that man had a hand in.
Yeah.
And all of them are just... Like, Jurassic Park isn't any better than Jaws, isn't any better than Indiana Jones, isn't any better than Harry Potter, isn't any better than Star Wars. They're all just on this, like, this mountaintop of amazingness. So yeah, although, well, we're going to talk about that. Shot on a budget of $9 million, the film would gross $472 million. It held the record for largest box office ever until what film knocked it off, Justin?
Star Wars?
There you go.
I don't know.
Good job. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, fuck yeah. Awesome.
Good job. The film spawned a franchise of three more films. Jaws Revenge is considered by many to be the worst film ever made. it is important to note that Spielberg and Bluntschli had no involvement in any of the sequels. And it also spawned a plethora of imitative efforts, such as Deep Blue Sea, Open Water. They all kind of owe themselves to Jaws.
Yeah. Hey, there was also a Jaws video game.
You mentioned that.
Yeah, and apparently a lot of people really like it.
Okay.
So
I've never played it, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess now it's time for me to shine.
Yeah, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm going to stretch the jaw a little bit. It's been a minute since I have to do one of these. Yeah, give me a 3, 2, 1, and I'll go.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
The film starts off with a couple of partygoers going out for a late night skinny dip, but the boy falls down, passes out, and the girl goes out in the water, only to be eaten by an unknown creature, which we know to be Jaws. The sheriff comes across and realizes that there's a big problem going on, but the mayor of Amity Island is not going to shut things down, because just like in COVID times, we can't lose any money and people can die at the expense of the economy. But then a little boy gets eaten in front of the entire crowd. The mother gets all freaked out, offers a reward, quits, says he can take it down, but I need more money than that. Hooper shows along and says, yo, this is the wrong shark you guys killed. We have a real shark coming our way. And then they finally decide, so Brody, Hooper, and Quint go out on the ship to go kill Jaws. They have a really, really good time. The best part of the whole movie, we're probably going to fight with Justin about that. Then Jaws attacks the ship. Hooper gets trapped in a cage. Quint gets eaten by the shark. Brody shows a tank in his mouth, shoots it, blows it up. And then Hooper and Brody kick their way back to shore.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, I mean, you got it.
So, I mentioned at the opening of this episode,
yes,
that I was fearful that this was going to be a repeat of The Exorcist, although it was the first time I'd seen The Exorcist. But my takeaways from this movie, my memories of it, because it had been a while, is that it's incredibly boring with a couple of really, really bright spots.
Yes, that's what I thought too.
Watching it again this time, I thought it was awesome. I thought it built up perfectly. I mentioned it during the plot summary about the COVID thing, but that's all I could think about.
Yeah.
Like I don't know why my mind went there, but like it's all I could think about. And just like how like we gotta make money, it doesn't matter, like it's okay, like we'll just take these precautions, it'll be all right. And I don't know why that was like in my mind the entire time.
Yeah, I mean you were right. It perfectly mirrors, I mean, what's still going on, like a year and 3 months later? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But
unfortunately, we don't have Brody, Hooper, and Quint to go kill.
Save us?
Yeah.
But the plot is really tight. And that was something I was kind of concerned about, because, again, my recollection of it was that it was kind of dull and slow. But this plot is very simple, right? We see a shark kill somebody. They know there's a problem, but the town doesn't want to risk losing their money, so they decide to bury their head and go forward anyway. only for the situation to get much worse. I think it's tight. I didn't think the movie went too long. And my favorite part of the whole film is the last third, which I kind of figured it would be.
Yeah.
Because I love the dynamic between Quint, Hooper, and Brody. I like how they interact with each other. I like how they talk to each other. I love the drunk scene when they sing the "Show Me the Way to Go Home." And yeah. then like the conversation about Quint and the sharks. In the yeah.
So I actually 100% agree with you.
okay.
I had to leave a little bit of suspense there. But yeah, no, I mean, the last third of this movie is fantastic. And
it's amazing, right?
I actually didn't realize until I was watching this that the story he tells is a true story.
It's real. It's fucking yeah. real, dude.
Isn't that fucking insane?
Like, that is going to be... So that's actually the part of this movie I'm most excited to talk about is how scary. Because especially now talking to you, I think we're going to agree on these first three categories. It's the last one where I think we might have some conversation. But I don't have any conflict plot. Like, sincerely, like, I was ready to, like, say it was boring and dull, but it's not. It's good. No, it's fast-paced. It is
really good. And, like, I like you had mentioned, I went into this thinking, oh, man, the first half of this movie... to three quarters of this movie is just going to be like,
it's going to be pretentious a big, in a way. Big flash of like awesomeness and then a slow down. And yes. then for the final like triumphant end. And it wasn't, it was great the whole time.
It was. And like, I felt for that mother whose son died.
Oh, I know.
That was fucking brutal.
That's the, I was going to talk about it here too, is like the deaths in this movie, even though we see so little of them, with the exception of Quint, which I was gonna say this for audio, I'll talk about it now, but during Quint's death scene, there's no music.
No, he's just,
it's just him fighting the shark. I don't know. Like, I guess I kind of understand a lot more why this movie was so seminal.
Yeah,
but I'll save the death scenes for cinematography. I have nothing negative to say. I think I probably saw this when I was younger because it's been a while. I definitely saw it as a kid, which we'll talk about for how scary. But yeah, man, like this is a fantastic movie.
I agree. I don't have any, like, I'm sitting here like, okay, no, I got to think of something. But no, I'm coming up blank.
I gave it a 10.
I gave it a 9.5. Just because, you know, gotta
leave some room for growth. I couldn't give it lower than Godzilla 54, so. It had a good 10.
Yeah, fair enough.
cinematography. Hard to believe this is Spielberg's like third theatrical film, but his first major release.
Man, it is amazing.
And then when you take into effect all the issues they were having and the fact, like, props. Like, I don't even think they probably would have been able to pull off a CGI shark, but this fucking is terrifying.
Dude, I've seen the CGI shark that they tried to use for Jaws Revenge or whatever when they kill him. It is.
Well, there's God. This is going to overlap with how scary we're going to talk about it, but there's a couple of scenes when the shark comes underneath the water at a sideways angle to get the guy who tried to help the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like that, yeah. Like just seeing that massive monster under the water. And then when Brody's tossing chum out, and you can kind of see it, and especially if you've seen the movie, you know, because of the iconic line, you're going to need a bigger boat. Yeah. Like, you can kind of see it there, and it comes up. It's just... And then they also do, and I mentioned this a little bit, like, they keep the shark hidden a lot. We barely see the shark. But it works out well. It was the right move.
And you know what? I'll say kind of something, too. Like, I remember thinking, oh, we only see the shark like once, and we do see it a few more times, but man, every time we see it, that fucking shark looks amazing
for an almost 50-year-old movie.
I mean, I Deep Blue Sea shark looks like ass.
Yeah, and it's been a long time since I've seen Deep Blue Sea, and that scared me too, but this is different because even like my child brain watching Deep Blue Sea knew it was fake. Yeah. This thing looks real.
Oh, yeah, like...
When it gets Quint...
Now, like, now in 2021, it fucking looks real, man.
And the death scenes are just brutal. We mentioned the little kid who gets eaten. Obviously, the girl is like that scene is so iconic. The guy in the lake, but like they show so little, and yet it's so gruesome. Well,
and I think that was like for the best, really, because I mean they leave it up to your imagination, and sometimes. I mean, when you see that blood fucking flying out and, like, basically spreading through the ocean, like, mm-hmm. your mind just fucking instantly goes places.
Yeah.
And I think it worked out so well.
And then the other thing, kind of saying that same note, is that because all these other deaths are kind of kept quiet, we don't really see anything about it, then we get to Quint's death, which I mentioned is filmed with no music. It's just the sound of the shark and the sound of Quint fighting it.
Yeah.
And that is shown in all of its brutality, like slowly falling into its mouth, like his reaction when his leg gets bitten, then when he gets like his chest gets bitten, the blood spurts up and he gets dragged under. Like that almost reinforces what your imagination had held when all the other characters got killed.
Yep. Well, you instantly think of like, okay, so if the other ones didn't die right away, they were probably trying to fight, like fight and kick and scream underwater, and that just helped. Like, it was brutal.
Moving away from the brutality, I mentioned how this was filmed in Martha's Vineyard, and mm-hmm. then how also it was shot on the open water instead of using like green screens. It was actually shot on the ocean. It caused a lot of production headaches, but my god, did it sell the realism.
Oh, it like there was like I literally have one tiny little con,
mm-hmm.
and really mixed with the rest of the film. Like I think it must have caused, I can only imagine, a tremendous amount of headaches, but it looks so real. Like you feel like they are in the ocean.
Yeah.
And well,
they are,
because they are. Yeah. Like if they used a green screen or yellow screen or whatever the hell,
or even the painting thing that Hitchcock did.
Yeah. You would have been able to tell something would have looked off. And because they decided to do it as real as possible, like, it worked out for them.
Yeah. And again, like, as far as cinematography goes, we have had movies around the same time frame that looked way shittier. And this is not shitty at all. This is beautiful.
Dude, we've had movies that have come out, like, in the last couple of years that have looked way shittier.
I honestly have no cons. Stunned.
The only con I have, and it's me being nitpicky.
That's fine. We kind of need to, because we're kind of blowing the movie right now.
Yeah, exactly. In the shot where they are at the end, when they are basically pushing, doing that final push to try and get back to land on the boat while the boat's still running, and Quint's basically pushing it as hard as he can.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You can see the land. It is like right there.
But what's wrong with that, though? Like, you mean, is it, like, off in the distance, or it's, like, there?
Well, it's, like, it's, I wouldn't say off in the distance. It's kind of in, like, a middle point between off in the distance.
I did notice it in a couple of shots where you could kind of see it, but that also makes sense because they weren't on the boat that long.
No, but yeah, but what I'm saying is literally the next shot of them in the water, there was, I mean, it was open water.
It's totally fine. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm just trying to be nitpicky because, not only are we flying through this, we're also kind of blowing this movie a lot.
Are we flying through it?
A little bit. Oh, yeah, bit. We're at 34 minutes and we're... yep.
Well, it's hard with this thing bad. I gave it 10 again. Mainly because like we've talked about before, whenever you use practical effects, when they're done, like practical effects just in general get a better score.
Yeah.
But then when it's done to this level that it holds up 50 years later... It's transcendent. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I gave it a 9.5 just because, again, I'm trying to be nitpicky on this thing, man.
Well, good luck on the next one, audio. I mean, you heard the fucking score. We started this thing off. Like, it's Jaws. Like, it's come on.
Yeah.
It's up there with exactly. Halloween. It's higher than Halloween. Like,
I will say, you know what? I think Jaws is, like, the one theme that you could have not even fucking have seen this movie. And you know the Jaws theme. Like,
for
horror,
you mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because I would say there are other scores of John Williams that have done the same thing.
Yeah.
But I think for Jaws, without a doubt. Because the other one, the only one I would contend that someone else might have done that could go past it,
okay,
would be the Batman theme.
Yeah, that's
Danny Elfman.
Yeah.
Just because it was everywhere for so long. And like,
well, I mean, even like Jaws, I didn't watch until maybe I was, I don't know, 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew the song before then. I knew the song before I had seen the movie.
Fun fact, John Williams composed the score for Superman.
Oh. Yeah, I like this better.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's nothing even bad to say. The whole, and all the other music he has, like the adventure music, like you can kind of hear the early seeds of your Indiana Jones or your Jurassic Parks, just that kind of happy upbeat, but still someone's hiding underneath. It's just great. It's amazing.
Yeah.
The acting performances. I'm going to first say this and see where you're at with me. Everybody's amazing.
Man.
Okay.
I think our main players are.
So save those for later, because I want to rank our favorites.
Okay. Like, by main players, I'm talking about
Brody, Quint Hooper and Brody.
Yeah.
I figured.
I would throw the mayor in there. I think he does a really fantastic job of playing the shitty mayor, especially when he's on TV. Like,
the scumbag. Like, come on down.
Yeah. And how he, like, goes up to the old guy and he's like, basically, get the fuck in the water kind of thing. Like,
get your ass up and get in there. You're right. So, I liked everything. Who didn't you like? You say the kid would want to fight you, because I don't have a child. But the scene where Brody and his son are sitting there and he's mimicking him is just adorable.
I like that. I don't like his older son.
He gets recast in a later movie.
Okay. Well, well, that's the thing is, I don't. It's hard to tell if it's the actor or the material.
Sure.
But I also don't really like any. We only get brief glimpses of them, but I really don't like any of the other townspeople.
See, I think. I'm not surprised to hear that, because I see them very similar to how I see the townspeople from The Birds.
In The Birds, yeah. That's exactly, I got that vibe from it, and I was like, again with these fucking
over-dramatized people. I'm not surprised to hear that at all.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I thought they were all great, but as I said during The Birds, I demonstrated my thoughts on that before.
Yeah.
So, I think we can all agree that Hooper, Quint, and Brody are...
Oh, phenomenal. Like, amazing.
Amazing.
Yes.
We're going to rank them real quick.
Okay.
Who is your third place?
My third place? Oh, and I feel bad for saying this. It's Brody.
Really? Why?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't have... I think everybody else has, like, this mixture of serious and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Brody just kind of seemed a little too uptight. I mean, this is the top people in this movie, by all means. But he just seemed a little too stiff.
So mine would be Hooper, which hurts because I love Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's just because we're comparing like three pristine performances.
Yep.
And the reason why his goes lower is because I feel like his character has the least amount of depth. And that's not saying his character isn't deep, but they go into like his family history and how he's trying to push back on it and how he's like self-funded and what he's trying to do to prove he's not this like rich bougie guy. He actually deserves to be on the water. So there is characters, just the other two are more fleshed out, I feel like. So it was hard. Your second place, Justin.
Oh man, you're gonna hate me. Quint. I don't know. I love, like, I was very unsure just about how he was rambling on when we kind of first meet him when they're all getting on the boat. I was like, this fucking asshole piece of shit. Obviously, he won me back with the drinking, basically, and that whole scene. Especially, oh, fuck, man. That story.
I know.
Oh. And then I was like, oh, shit. Like, this sounds like it's almost real. Like too... planned out. I'm gonna like look it up and
it's real.
Yeah, it's real, which is fucked, man. Like down to how many people survived and everything.
It's real.
It's fucked.
Mine is Brody. I think if I was a dad, he might get higher, maybe. But I like the journey his character goes through, from like being afraid to even go on the water to knowing that if he wants to protect not only his town but his family, that that's what he has to do because no one else will do the job.
Also, I just want to say the only other reason too is if I knew there was a fucking shark out there, I don't care if it's in the pond that connects to the same fucking body of water, I would not let my kid go out there.
Yeah, no joke. Yes, I agree. So that means Hooper is your number one.
Oh, absolutely. He is just too fun.
Yeah, Richard Dreyfuss is a fantastic actor.
Yep.
mine's Quint. There's just something about that grizzled old sea captain, and just like he doesn't have a character arc. Like he's Quint the whole time, where the other two kind of do. Brody the most, obviously, but just honestly, I think Quint is very similar to Hannibal Lecter. He's not on the screen very often, but whenever he is, it's his scene. And it goes to the townsfolk thing where he's like, I'll do it for 10,000. I'm not doing it for three. You're not going to cut me short. This is going to be crazy. Yeah. And then the drinking and the tone shifts in that scene and the story. And dude, I remember as a kid, like, and then he dies. And then he dies. He's like, he's fucking Captain Ahab when he meets Moby Dick and he meets his end. It's just, yeah, I can't. Like, Quint is one of the greatest characters in cinema as far as I'm concerned. Like, all three of them are, but for me, Quint is just like, he's been replicated, he's been parodied, but it's just, it's him.
Yeah, man, when he was saying how much he hates, like how he hates women and don't think they can do anything properly, that really brought him down for me.
Oh, I just figured that was the old grizzled sea captain. Thanks for throwing that out there, Justin.
Hey, audio, you called me out.
Audio, I gave it a 10.
I gave it an 8.5. Like I said, I think the score and the main players were fantastic, but almost everybody else for me was just too over-dramatized.
All right. How scary? This one was hard.
Yes.
We mentioned that there are some very brutal and some scary scenes in this movie, like seeing the shark under the water and the pop-up, and like there are some scary scenes. But this movie does feel more adventure-y thriller at times than it does horror. However, this is where I'm at, and I'm curious to see where you're at too. I saw this as a kid, like maybe 6 or 7. I have never gone into the ocean further than where I would stand up and the water would go over my knees. Ever in my life. And it is because of this movie.
I actually think this movie had more effect on me now than when I was a child, because really? I remember 2 years after seeing this, we went on a family vacation and we went in the ocean. I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, I've never been out in open water. Like, I've never been so far out in water I couldn't see the land ever.
Yeah.
Oh,
man, I'm telling you this now. Looking back on it, I had fun, but if I did that now, I'd be fucking shitting my pants. It is so terrifying.
And one of my bucket list things, because I am afraid of sharks, is to go shark diving. Like, I want to go in a cage and do that. I do. It's just something I want to do because it's a fear I want to tackle, unlike spiders, which we're rapidly approaching. But it's hard because literally this movie has stopped me from fully enjoying the ocean. I've been to the ocean several times, like in Myrtle Beach and up north and then down in Florida. Like, I've been to the ocean a lot, but I've never gone past my knees, and it's because of this movie. And this is where I'm struggling the most, because to me, just the fact that it's this movie's fault that I don't like the ocean, like, how do I not give it a perfect score? But when you watch it, it's like, there are brutal scenes and it is scary, but like, the movie itself isn't like The Conjuring, you know what I mean? But I'm not afraid to go into an old house because of The Conjuring, you know what I mean? So this is, I have been struggling with this even before I rewatched the movie, because I knew this was going to be something I was going to struggle with. I don't know. And I'm I I'm between two numbers, and I don't know where I'm going to fall. So why don't you talk a little bit, because
okay.
I'm still
struggling. I'll tell you, and I'll even go with my number first if you want.
Okay.
So I think the – personally, I agree with you. I think it's more definitely on the, like, action-adventure kind of scale of things.
It feels like Indiana Jones
at
times.
Yeah. It's Indiana Jones instead of a temple and a boulder. There's the ocean and a shark.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole movie. But it does have its – scares, like with the body popping out of the boat,
and
I mean, even the
Jaws
shark itself.
Go underneath the water and pulling someone under there are legitimate scares in this movie, without
yes,
a doubt.
Absolutely. But that being said, I think this can be scary for a certain type of person. Like, I guarantee Matt, I know he does not like water, and
yeah.
I know he doesn't like sharks, so I guarantee for Matt, this is probably terrifying. And there's, hey, again, how scary? It's your own opinion, right? Like,
yeah.
I personally just don't think it is that scary. Like you mentioned, like The Conjuring would give me a nightmare, basically. Has the possibility of giving me a nightmare.
Yes, yeah, okay.
And affecting me now.
And still being scary on a rewatch. Like, I can go watch The Conjuring tonight and still be afraid.
Oh, absolutely. There are parts that, even if I know something is going to happen, still spooky as fuck. If I were to do a rewatch of this tonight,
you'd enjoy yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'd enjoy myself, but I'd be like, oh, hey, Jaws looks fucking awesome.
And I totally hear that. That's why I'm struggling. But the thing is like, I'm a 30-year-old man who's never gone under the water in the ocean.
And
it's because
and that's
of
why,
this movie.
And that's why, like, if you want to give it a 10, give it a 10. Because it didn't have that effect on me.
But you said it would now.
I didn't. That's not the effect.
Oh, okay.
Me. Like, I would still go in the ocean because, what? I mean, whatever. I'm fat. I'm not the slowest person, though, so I know I'm good.
Yeah, I just.
But, like, I don't know, man. I wish I could help you, really. But, like, for me, it is. I think it's terrifying when Jaws is there, but not.
Or
in, like,
even intimated that he's there.
Yeah. Yes, but just not in like a way that, let's say, Jason is there, even though they kind of accomplish the same thing.
Yeah, because with Jaws, if you stay on land, you're fine.
Exactly. There's ways to escape it. And I don't, if I have a nightmare, it's not, and I'm in the ocean, I guarantee it's not going to be Jaws that comes and gets me. It's going to be my own fucked up mind thinking, oh no, you'll just die of like dehydration or some shit. But I've had nightmares like of Jason chasing me, of Freddy chasing, you know, like
I think, really haven't. I've had a couple of Michael, but those ones I always end up being his friend, which might say something about me. But,
oh boy.
I have had nightmares about sharks. I'm so torn, man. What did you give it?
I gave it a 6 because I definitely think it has the power to be terrifying to somebody. It wasn't that to me, but it definitely has that power. Like you said, it's fucked you up for life. You can't go past your ankles.
And like I said, it's one of the things I want to try to accomplish. Like, a goal of mine is to go shark diving, to go out on the boat, get in a cage, and do it.
Hopefully yours holds together a little better.
I gave it a 9.5.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I did take off a half a point because the movie itself isn't so scary. But for something to have affected me like this for so long, I can't. Like, there's nothing else. There's no other reason. Like, I can swim in lakes. I can swim in rivers. Like, I've done all that. I still do that. Dude, like, that's not my fucking place. You know what I mean? Like, that's not where I'm meant to be. And it's because of this movie. And, like, I'm obviously not the only one, because this movie, like, spawned fears and shark killings. And people think sharks kill all these people, even though it happens so infrequently. There is no such thing as a man-eater. Like, that consistently hunts man. It's almost like an accident when it happens. But still, it's just ingrained in me, dude. And I don't know. Like I said, I was floating between, honestly, a 5 and a 10. Because that's actually on the movie itself and the scares that were there, or the effect that it's had on me my entire life. And just wait for Arachnophobia, brother.
Oh, I can tell you right now, Arachnophobia, you might as well just put a 10 down in there for me right now.
I think Arachnophobia might get an 11 on how scary. We'll talk about it. So to review the scores for plot, I gave it a 10. Justin gave it a 9.5. For cinematography, I gave it a 10. Justin gave it a 9.5. For audio, I gave it a 10. Justin gave it an 8.5. And for how scary, I gave it a 9.5. And Justin gave it a 6. That gives it a Here's Johnny final score of a 91. And we have another entry in the Here's Johnny top 10.
What did it kick out?
So it didn't kick anything out. What it actually did was tie. Okay. It is tied with The Conjuring.
Okay.
Dr. Sleep. And now Jaws.
Interesting.
Our top 10, for those who are interested, is Gerald's Game with a 96, Resident Evil 2 Remake with a 95, 28 Days Later with a 94, Gremlins, my God, what a fun review that was. Also has a 94, Scream with a 93, Shaun of the Dead with a 93, Resident Evil 7 Biohazard a 92, What We Do in the Shadows a 92, and then Conjuring, Dr. Sleep and Jaws with a 91.
There's our top 10.
I mean,
no, I know.
Yeah, yeah, you can't. Yeah. Like, honestly, I wonder if there are components of Arachnophobia that I don't know if will pass Gerald's Game. But I think it might only since I know we're both afraid of spiders. Like that's the only thing I see this season that has the potential to upset Gerald's Game.
I am not going to lie. I'll just admit this now. I'm full on ready to like look away if I have to. Like, I know that might be a thing.
Dude, Justin.
I might have to watch it during the fucking day if I want to get through it.
Yeah, you should.
I'm going to. You should. Because I am not going to watch it at night.
Okay, that's a review of Jaws. I'm very happy it grew on me. Like I said, it's been a long time. But I think having watched all the movies we've seen and kind of watched like... And like I feel like I've kind of grown as like a film critic. I'm not sure how you feel. Like I definitely feel like we can tell good and like this is good. Like this is...
Oh, yeah.
There's a reason why Jaws is what it is.
Yeah, and there's a reason why it's, I mean, kind of stayed... up there because I mean it's fucking 2021. The movie came out in what was it again?
75.
Like
it's almost 50 years old,
and it's still amazing.
It is amazing. We have watched. Let's go down to the bottom of the list here real quick. Ginger Dead Man, but that's not even fair. Let's talk about Resident Evil Retribution. Which came out in 2012.
I don't even remember the Resident Evil movies.
Or Silent Hill Revelation 3D.
Oh, God. That piece of shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, man, there's some trash here at the bottom. It's special. It deserves a place where it's at. It just does.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Justin, with that being said, go ahead and play the commercial from one of the member podcasts of Kaleidoscope Media Network, and we'll head on into the closing.
Do you ever watch a horror movie and think, oh, wow, that headshot didn't have nearly enough blood? Don't the writers know that 20% of your blood is in your head?
Are you the type of person that tells your friends, well, why yes, in space no one can hear you scream because the molecules are too far apart to transmit sound waves?
Does it seriously annoy you when a horror movie doesn't explain its rules to you or claims to have horror rules and then just ignores them?
Do you ever express these concerns to your friends who tell you that you should stop worrying so much because it's just a horror movie, Sam?
Then stop lecturing your friends about physics and come listen to our podcast. That's Not How Science Works, which I co-host with my awesome friend, Nicole.
In our podcast, Caitlin and I discuss science in different pieces of media, such as movies or TV shows, in various genres, and dissect whether that science is good, bad, or just plain ridiculous. Often, we also have special guests who help us rant about bad science in their areas of expertise.
We release new episodes every other Monday, and you can find us wherever you usually download your podcasts. We like to think of this as a podcast for the science curious. Whether you're Sam with a dedicated YouTube channel complaining about bad science and horror movies, or just like to learn things while listening to friends banter about what they watched that week, we'd love for you to listen in.
You can find out more by going to our website, thatsnotscience.com, or by looking us up on Twitter at TNHSWpod. We hope you give us a listen. Now back to your regularly scheduled horror enthusiasts, Larry and Justin, and that's definitely a word that's a real word and not a word that I just made up, and whatever terrifying thing they're discussing that would probably give me daymares for a week.
So Justin, during the commercial break, I made a change in our top 10, and I want to know what you think about
it. You can't just go change in our top 50.
I did not change the scores. I changed how I counted the top 10. So what I was doing in the past, I was doing like golf, where if you have two people tied for first, the next person would be third.
Okay.
So I changed it where, like, if it was tied, it was at that place with it.
Okay.
So there's more included in the top 10. Do you want to hear the new top 10 then?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So first is still Gerald's Game by itself. Second is still Resident Evil 2 by itself. In third, tied, we have 28 Days Later in Gremlins. In fourth, tied, we have Scream and Shaun of the Dead. In fifth, tied, we have Resident Evil 7 Biohazard and What We Do in the Shadows. In sixth now, we have The Conjuring, Doctor Sleep, and Jaws tied. In seventh, we have The Last of Us Part 2 tied with Outlast. In eighth, all by itself, we have Alien. In ninth, we have The Blair Witch Project, Evil Dead Remake, The Forest video game, and The Haunting of Hill House Season 1. And in 10th place, Halloween 2018.
It's a long top 10.
Yeah, but I feel like I like it better just because... Yeah.
No, I get that. I get it. I kind of agree with that. Like, basically... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and then, like, you get it out of that, better. Like, it's like Alien Isolation, Faculty, Perfection, Revenge, Us, 30 Days of Night. So, like, it's still good stuff right there. It's just, like, I like it better because I felt bad leaving... stuff like Last of Us Part 2 or Outlast or Alien or Blair Witch out, because I think they deserve it. And it's our podcast. As long as you're cool with it, I think I like...
Oh, I don't give a fuck.
All right, cool. And I like messing with numbers. So, Jaws is done.
Yes.
Justin, do you know what's next?
Yes, but only because we've already talked about this. It's Lake Placid.
It is Lake Placid. We're staying with the water and we're talking about gators. This is a forced entry from patron Shannon. We're going to coordinate with her to get her a little audio clip from her so she can tell us why she has forced us to review Lake Placid. I haven't seen it for a while, but there are scenes in this movie that I still remember. And there was an incident I had growing up where I thought I found my own gator in a lake, which we'll talk about next week. Any connection for you?
I just remember that Betty White is in this movie. That's literally the only thing I remember about this movie.
Yeah, so we have a bunch more movies coming up. Again, a long stretch of movies, but the next game is Sinking City. I think we mentioned it already, but we do have a Saw mini-season kind of falling here in the middle of Kaiju.
Oh, I am so fucking excited.
We're forcing
it's finally happening.
Rachel to go through the entire franchise. She's never seen it before.
Yeah, and Mars is going to be here as well.
Yeah, I'm going to point out Rachel because she's never seen it. Like, Mars is brave. Okay. Rachel, she has like 8,000 different horror podcasts, but she's never watched any of the Saw films.
Oh, man, I am so fucking excited. I feel bad because I feel like we're going to ruin her weeks on some of those movies.
Especially
when
she has to watch 3 in a week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is gonna be bad, but it's gonna be fun.
And knowing us, is gonna be a lot of editing for you.
Oh fuck.
But yeah, we are 3 weeks away from a film I've been dreading to talk about in this podcast.
So hold on, before we get out here, so we're gonna doing Lake Placid,
mm-hmm.
and then
Underwater, which was Rachel's forced entry.
Okay, and then Sinking City.
Nope.
Oh, Arachnophobia, then Sinking City?
Arachnophobia, Godzilla versus Kong, then Sinking City. We have a full 5 weeks once this podcast comes out to beat Sinking City. That's why I was telling you should slow your roll, son. That's why I wasn't in that big of a rush.
Oh, fuck. I'm just going to start playing fucking Yakuza then on stream.
You should. You should have more fun.
I'm going to.
We also need to beat Final Fantasy X.
Yeah, man. It's okay. Once a month, right?
I'm farther than you, at least.
Yeah, I haven't touched it in like 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
Life comes at you fast, huh?
You know what? Next week, I will fucking plow through that game.
Don't do that, because I got I'm not getting the platinum. I'm going to admit it right now, guys. I don't have the time in my life to grind out all those sphere grids and to play motherfucking Blitzball. What I will do, though, is I will do the lightning grind on stream. I will get that part of it.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
I will do the 200 lightning dodge, and I might see how much I hate myself and maybe try to get 000 in Chocobo.
Ooh, okay. Interesting.
God damn. Okay. But yeah, I'm really excited. We are a long ways out, but Justin and I are starting preliminary talks on the next season.
Yes.
So remember, if you want to force us to watch things like Lake Placid or Sinking City or play games like Death Stranding or Rampage World Tour, head on over to our Patreon and you can join in on the fun or the torture, whatever vocabulary you want to use for that. Yeah, I can't get anything else. You got anything else for us?
Yes. I had mentioned this in the Patreon chat that we have on Discord.
Okay.
But I might as well say it here as well. Either this season or next season, see how...
We have till August for this season to end because of the Saw input.
Well, that's why I'm thinking maybe this season. We are going to randomly draw a Patreon to get a shirt or mug or something with our season art on it, and we're going to do that every season.
And Justin's in charge of it this time, so you'll actually get your shirt. Sorry,
man. Yeah, I'm looking at... I'm picking names now, so...
I tried. I tried to do it, and I just failed.
It's all good, man.
Justin delivers. I'm a failure.
So yeah, we're gonna start that. As long as you're a patron, you can be $1, you can be $50, whatever, equal chance. Whoever wins, let's say somebody wins this season, they are not eligible to win next season, just to kind of keep it fair.
Yep, and I will reach out to our old artist Josh. And
about old season,
yeah, art. For the old season art, yeah, and talk to him.
Okay,
But that's it, Justin. Can you get anything else?
No, that's. I'm getting really nervous about Arachnophobia.
You should.
I just want to tell you that.
You haven't
right
seen
now,
it, have you?
No, I've never seen it.
Dude,
and there's a fucking
you don't
reason
even know.
I haven't seen it.
You don't even know, dude. I'm not even trying to be funny. Like,
I'm getting like acid reflux just thinking about it. Oh god.
you should, because it's no joke. Yeah, well, guys, stay out of the water, watch out for sharks, and until next time, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at heresjohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/heresjohnnypodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers. So head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.